I read an article that said 1.5 million jobs would be created in real estate and construction and different sectors.
There were also talks around the human rights violations, how the migrant workers were being treated.
So it's very hard to actually determine what's happening there based on just the news reports that come out. But at least what I've read is about why a country where there's so much human rights violation and there are just generally so many restrictions, how can they be given the bid to host the World Cup?
Having to host it in December, that's kind of a strange-ish one.
But exactly. I don't even understand what's the problem with the Winter World Cup. If the World Cup happens in the summer, you're still playing those many days. If it happens in the winter, you're still playing those many days. It's just that your Premier League season or your La Liga season gets pushed a little bit.
It's highly likely that the finalists, a lot of them will be involved in these top four or five leagues of Europe, which means that then they have no recovery time.
A lot of people say that Qatar won the bid because of corruption and so on and so forth. Are they, where is there no corruption? FIFA itself has had so much corruption inside it.
They have more money to give. Okay, they have more money to get invested in football. What is the issue?
Just enjoy the World Cup for what it is. So what if you can't get drunk while watching a match? Just be high with the spirit of the World Cup.
Hey everyone, welcome back to a very special episode of All About Sports, the podcast, a weekly sports podcast for the fans, by the fans. I'm Mazhar, your host today, and joining me are Gui.
What up?
And Shubham.
Hi guys.
So, the reason why I say this is special is because it's slightly torn by controversy, and it's basically around the FIFA World Cup to be held in Qatar. It started off firstly with a very questionable structure to the bid when Qatar was awarded the World Cup, so much so that, you know, Qatar being a nation that is pretty much desert in terms of where it's located geographically, there was no chance that the World Cup could be held in summer. So the World Cup this time is to be held in December, which is very odd, and which sort of disrupts the regular season of football across the globe, as the leagues have to take a break mid-season, when December would in some countries be a Christmas break and in some countries be the maximum football that you will play, namely England, where it was just constantly, I think, a barrage of games, six games, I think, in December that they would have to play in the league itself, in the Premier League, and even trickling down. Apart from that, of course, it being Qatar, there were also talks around the human rights violations, how the migrant workers were being treated, a lot of them apparently passing away because of the inhumane conditions for the preparation of the stadiums of the World Cup. Then there were also people crying foul around other human rights, around the LGBTQ and so on and so forth. Of course, let's not forget Qatar is an Islamic country, so they have certain principles and other sort of beliefs that they follow. So there was a huge UN cry around that. Now, of course, Western culture and East, the culture in the East is very different. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So Shubham, I'm going to come to you first. You know, this is, you're always talking about putting logic into perspective and putting business and so on into perspective. So firstly, what was your thought when you heard that Qatar was going to be hosting the World Cup, in all honesty? I know for a lot of us, it was just like, what the heck, Qatar? Firstly, with no offense to Qatar, we don't know enough of the country. We don't know anything, to be honest. But it's not a footballing nation by any means. So what was your thought on that?
My reaction is pretty much like you kind of summed it up, because I honestly, like, I know anyone who's visited Qatar or something, like, even as a country that I have spoken about much or read about much, again, with no offense to the people of Qatar. So when they won the bid and they were hosting the World Cup, it did come as a surprise to me. And honestly, at that point, I did not even like make much of it. I was like, okay, fine. It's probably whatever the politics behind it. Another country gets to host the World Cup. Any World Cup that happens, it's a big economic boost to the country out there. I read an article that said 1.5 million jobs will be created in real estate and construction and different sectors. So obviously it's great for the country. Qatar has the money to do something like this. That's great. It will hopefully inculcate football into the culture out there, maybe at the grassroots or at a bigger scale. So that'll be nice. It's just that I think after they won the bid, all the pundits and the players and like media personalities, so as to say, and not just like people within football, but then people outside of football also started, they had a comment to make on it. And largely the comments were about, at least what I've read, is about why a country where there's so much human rights violation and there are just generally so many restrictions, how can they be given the bid to host the World Cup? I don't know what to make out of it much, because there are articles that come out in the media about their human rights violations. But then again, like with the media also, like, I don't know what you believe and what you don't believe, because how much of the media is actually true media, right? All the media channels have a propaganda, like it's a propaganda machine. All the media channels are funded by whatever organizations, and those organizations, like the media channels will always just present what the organization want them to present, right? Wherever the money comes from, that's how their mouth opens, and that's what's printed or that's what's said. So I've also seen documentaries on YouTube that have spoken about there haven't been too many major accidents or incidents during the time of construction. I think one person said that there were like some 14 lives that were lost and 40 others were injured. And they said like things like this sometimes happen when such large construction projects are undertaken. And obviously it's not nice when someone loses their life, but I guess things like this happen. And then there are certain reports that say the numbers are much more bigger than this. So it's very hard to actually determine what's happening there, based on just the news reports that come out. But to answer your question, initially Qatar won the World Cup bid, I was just taken aback, because we don't think of Qatar as a footballing country, right? We either think it will happen in South America or it will happen somewhere in Europe, might happen in the US, because US has also been building up its footballing ecosystem. But yeah, I was just surprised. But I was more surprised about just the media barrage that followed with it and just the amount of negativity that came with Qatar winning the World Cup.
Yeah, I know. I mean, and that's what I'm going to go to with Gui on the next point. Gui, we've always talked about this, right? All three of us sitting here have been at the receiving end of being from the East, being from non-footballing nations, so to speak. Everyone terms us, oh, you must be playing cricket, or cricket's your favorite sport. And the fact of the matter is, on this podcast, two out of the three people don't really follow cricket. But coming back to the point, how much of this made you feel like this was, again, the West trying to influence, not influence, but really like stamping their authority on the East?
Look, much unlike you or Malu, I was not even okay, so they won the bid. Like, what is there? I mean, I didn't even think that there is supposed to be an issue until all the issues are raised. All right, because for the whatever process or due process was to be followed, if you can say that they have not followed that and then they have in some manner, you know, taken some underhand means to winning the bid, then okay, then strip them of the title of host nation. But otherwise, who are you to complain? Like, why are you address all your complaints to whoever is the appropriate authority. In don't even write to all of the footballing community. Like, how, what am I supposed to do as a fan? It's probably more accessible to me than going to your what do you want me to do? Like, it makes no sense to me. Like, there are complaints. What does make sense to me is that okay, when you speak about human rights violation in that country, right? Okay, That is an issue which you can highlight. But okay, like there are several number of issues, but then the type of issues a country deals with differs, right, based on the stage of development. I can say there are issues which developed nations face which we do not. Like, okay, fine. It's just more anger. It's just more angered towards what you have surpassed, right? Like, as a developed nation, you probably had your fair share of human rights violations maybe 100 years back. No World Cups, then not my fault. What am I supposed to do? Like,
yeah, I mean,
that's a very crude way of looking at it. But where is this concern coming out of, as you asked, right? Is this concern coming out of one of the so-called, you know, pet nations? Like, you would expect, like, Russia, Europe, North America or South America. Like, it's just those. Australia at best. Okay. Anywhere in Asia would have, like, raised an eyebrow, right? Like, anywhere in Asia would have raised an eyebrow. Like,
I mean,
when it, okay, the South African World, okay, the World Cup which happened in South Africa, all right, it got termed as Africa's World, like, Africa. I'm like, please, very small part. Okay.
From the biggest continent in terms of countries, they said Africa's World Cup, just because it was hosted for the first time ever in Africa.
Exactly, right? And please, like, there's so much disregard for how much effort goes into organizing an event of such scale. Like, if they're willing to shell out the money, so be it. Okay, back-to-back UCL finals, and after this season's UCL final debacle of fans not being able to get into the stadium, it has opened up a very large conversation about this happening on every UCL final. Okay, wow, Champions League, the premier competition of Europe, and none of the host, like, finals hosting stadiums.
No, now the premier competition is Europa League.
Okay, so please, okay, I will correct myself. Maybe even in that one, you can't make it to the stadium. I don't know. So it apparently it's mismanaged all the time, right? In terms of fans not being able to get in, issues all around. But you don't complain because it's where you're at. Okay, or you don't complain at that scale, or maybe the gravity of the complaints are low. All right, nothing on the same scale as what has been witnessed with regards to the Qatar World Cup. Again, having to host it in December, that's kind of a strange-ish one. Isn't Brazil also war?
No. That's why many people are saying that the South African nations, South American nations, of course, the African nations will also have, like, the climate will be more suited for them as well. But definitely, like, South America, they are saying will have somewhat of an advantage. But it seems like the European nations are already making excuses.
Yeah, you're cribbing, you're cribbing. Exactly.
But I don't even understand what's the problem with the Winter World Cup. If the World Cup happens in the summer, you're still playing those many days. If it happens in the winter, you're still playing those many days. It's just that your Premier League season or your La Liga season gets pushed a little bit.
The off season gets kind of tinkered with. And again, like, it's more like they are concerned about their own economics, right? Like, we know what we've been doing in December. We sell out so many games, so many tickets. It just moves the calendar enough for them to be bothered by it.
What I will add, though, here is the World Cup happens pretty much almost at off-season time. So I'm not saying, so there's no break as such. There's no break as such of football at all. But the thing is, that is still during off-season, which means that you have no commitments with your football club during that time. Here, that changes completely. Because the moment you finish the World Cup, if you make it all the way to the end, to the final, let's say, you have your first game in the Premier League on Boxing Day. It's highly likely that the finalists, a lot of them will be involved in these top four or five leagues of Europe, which means that then they have no recovery time or breaks to even relax, because they just have to get back into the full flow. So that's why people are complaining about the December time.
But you know, having said that, forget the Premier League, but the other leagues, they anyways go on a Christmas break, right?
Agreed. They do. But it's not every league. Germany does it, but I think
Italy also does it. Spain does it.
But Shubham, it's not a month-long break. What happens is your summer is 2 months long, 3 months long almost. So that window, and your World Cup lasts for what? 3 weeks? 2 weeks? So you're
like
in camp
three weeks.
Month,
it lasts
basically
for the team that goes all the way till there, right? Like, goes
exactly
to the final.
That's what I'm saying. So, agreed. But I'm just saying that mid-season, imagine you're just going there, then you're flying again. You're flying from Europe to Asia. I can understand where the players come from, but the players don't care. At the end of the day, they are getting to play the World Cup. That's what they care about. Philipp Lahm coming out and having his stand and his beliefs, fair enough. We can respect that. And him deciding to boycott the World Cup and not advertising for it as a FIFA legend, fair. Everyone is entitled to their opinions. But at the end of the day, the main thing for me, what the problem with this entire thing is, these European nations and the North American nations trying to say boycott the World Cup because Qatar has restrictions on several other factors, right? Your LGBTQs, then like public displays of affection. You cannot forget the country it is. It's an Islamic country at the end of the day. They have their beliefs. They aren't saying that you can't enter if you are gay. And they are saying just have respect for when there are certain things, like when the azan comes out, for example, just pay your respect. And fair enough, man, if you're telling me if you're going to your friend's place and they are a Muslim family, for example, and if you have to remove your slippers or your shoes, are you telling me that you'll be like, no, it's my right. I won't remove my shoes. Like, I always use that as an example. It doesn't work, right? So I think that agenda is wrong. The human rights violations, now just a fun fact about this. So one of the Loughborough students, he's doing his PhD. He's from Qatar. So he's doing his PhD on the migrant workers who were involved in the World Cup constructions and stadium constructions and so on and so forth. Many lives, you're right, Shubham, lives were lost, but nowhere close to the numbers that certain sources were claiming. But there were inhumane conditions as well. But to be fair to Qatar, they did not lie about it. They owned up about it and they said, yes, what we did was wrong. And we are trying to be better and we are rectifying those things. We are cooperating with FIFA and ensuring that we meet all the requirements, which GUI you highlighted. So they've come out and they've not been ashamed to say it. Tragedies happen everywhere. The Olympics, have we seen Japan had it? Had a bad state of conditions for working conditions for preparation of the Olympics. Over that, they had COVID as well to deal with. These mega events itself always have collateral damage. I'm not saying it's right. It's absolutely not. But I'm saying Qatar is being picked on simply more because it's a Middle East nation. And that's my take. Anyway, Shubham, sorry.
See, I strongly feel most of the controversy around Qatar coming from like Europe or North America, it's pretty much about which side of the table you're sitting on, right? What I mean by that is, when we talk about human rights violation, see, it's very basic thing to understand. As in how you get more developed as a country, there are different laws that come into place, people have a certain standard of living, things change. When you are a developing country, it's a lot different. And I think this is something which all of us perhaps can relate to, because all of us from India, it's a developing country. We know the situation of the labor market in India and how it is. And perhaps in the West, it'll be a little different. You'll have like a minimum wage. You'll have to be provided a certain standard, blah, blah, blah. So, and also I feel like it's not fair on Qatar to like get so much flack and like so much media propaganda blown out of proportion and misrepresentation of numbers, and just make it look like Qatar is like this super evil country that's doing rubbish. And also, having said that, a lot of people say that Qatar won the bid because of corruption and so on and so forth. Arey, where is there no corruption? FIFA itself has had so much corruption inside it. FIFA's presidents, I think Sepp Blatter and stuff, so many corruption scandals. Most of the FIFA, like most of the football governing bodies are also corrupt. You take AIFF in India also, there's corruption. Even in African governing bodies of respective countries are corrupt. Are you trying to sit out here and tell me there's no country in Europe that's corrupt, or no country in or North America is not corrupt or anything like that? I think sometimes it becomes like, if I don't like you and you do something, then, and because I have the power, I have the clout, I will make you look like a horrible person. But if I do the same thing, you can't comment on me because listen, I'm the
powerful bigger than you.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm exactly. bigger than you. It just becomes a situation like that. See, obviously things, I wouldn't say things are ideal. It's very hard, like, for things to be ideal. People always have the point of view. Maybe Qatar could have done some things better. Maybe the situation could have been handled better. But also, while Qatar is taking ownership for whatever they have done, I also feel like you need to be tolerant and you need to be understanding of that region. Also, like you said, you know, if Qatar has restrictions, bloody respect it, man. Just respect the country you are going to. You know, like, as in Rome, do as the Romans. If Qatar has certain rules and regulations, follow it, respect it. That country must be having a heritage which will be like much longer than your existence on this planet, dude.
Exactly.
So at least have the basic respect that if you're going to a country, study its culture, study its heritage, and just respect the law of the land. As simple as that, yeah.
Well
Coming
said,
to what Malu said, how is just perfect take. Like if I had to compare it with something which has happened in the recent past, Djokovic can't play the Australian Open because they made a rule that without the vaccine you can't enter the country. Okay, fine. Now I didn't play the Australian Open. As simple as that. At that point, you didn't feel like objecting as much, right? That okay, this nation has this rule. Why do I not have the right to not take a vaccine? And now it is suddenly don't play. In that scenario, okay with the athlete compromising or whatever. And coming to the first part of what Malu said. They just got out bullied, right? So you got smacked in the face with a big wad of cash. oh my god. now it's a problem. Like he has a bigger stack of money than me. Like that's it, right? Or maybe I don't want to pay as much as he can because I somehow in my mind I'm more meritorious, right? That's the idea, right? Like we are the footballing nation, so why should I have to, you know. In somehow the justification must have been like, okay, they have to pay more. Okay, as is, they should have to pay more because they are not a footballing nation, we are. Okay, now that they have managed to pay more also, there is a problem. Now that we managed to pay more also, it's a problem because, excuse me, now it should be on merit. Now you should never get to host only. Right?
No, now that they paid more, you're corrupt. Everything is corrupt.
You're corrupt, and now on merit, I should get it. It's just this is an argument you can keep on making, right? Like, okay, by that logic, India is hosting the under-17 Women's World Cup, right? Who? Under-17 Women's World Cup. Okay.
We just got thrashed 8-0 by USA, but no one.
I have gone to this Mumbai football arena, quote unquote, okay, and watched under-17 friendlies, okay, because it was just nothing to do. I had nothing to do, okay, and now it's very close to my home. I'm like, okay, let's go. I gathered a lot of people. I'm like, come, let's watch. And they're like, why are we here? I said, no, this is all like prep for, you know, when we host the under-17. It was already announced at that point. They're like, prep for, are you serious? I said, yes, that's the idea, right? You host small events and then you finally build. So by that logic, India should give up hope only, because I don't know from where we'll generate the same amount of cash as Qatar to like excuse me, we want the World Cup bid. Like, it'll never. See, it's just unreal to think that there are complaints about they have more money to give. Okay, they have more money to get invested in football, and most likely FIFA is not coming to their nation to invest. The FIFA is not investing in smaller. Your grassroots may only some money is going to come. No, what is the issue?
And in fact, I also feel it's a brilliant thing that another country is perhaps getting, it will hopefully exactly. become a footballing nation. There'll be another country which will develop, like, hopefully top talent. And even think about, okay, forget all the scandal that's happened and you're really upset about Qatar winning the World Cup bid and all. Now look at the flip side. Through all the investment that's going into Qatar for the World Cup, so many people are getting employed, they're getting jobs, like perhaps like the cities where the World Cup will happen. I'm sure there'll be so much more like of an economic boom during that time. It affects the life of millions of people who will benefit by one country hosting a World Cup. So like you can always look at the negatives, but then perhaps see the positives also.
Well said. And one more thing, Shobha, like you mentioned, the grassroots football and stuff, people will get naturalized and play for Qatar. Suddenly you will see Qatar may upset a team in their group as well. You never know. And that can be a major slap on the face of these teams. 2018, the Russia World Cup exposed so many teams, right? Italy didn't make it only in the first place. Germany got knocked out early. Spain got knocked out early. We're talking about these massive, massive teams going out early in the group stages itself. So
did Netherlands play?
Netherlands also didn't qualify for the World Cup in 2018.
Exactly.
So I'm just saying, so like,
heritage.
No, which actually brings out a great point. Everything, the moment it comes to a country that is a Muslim country, that is a rich country in the Middle East, there's these negative connotations drawn. And you can't help but think that there is media propaganda involved in this. And it really astounds me that no one even questions it or thinks of the other side. And I think that's what needs to change. And I mean, kudos to FIFA for actually sticking to their guns and keeping Qatar as hosts. Qatar have gone one step further. In fact, I don't know how much of this is greenwashing. Forgive me for using that word. But like, they have a sustainable stadium, basically, that's made with movable parts. So they can dismantle one of those stadiums entirely and use those parts for something else, or then just take those parts and rebuild a stadium somewhere else. How cool is that? And they thought of that. They had the foresight to do that. No one told them to do that. And you imagine a country like Qatar that, I mean, yeah, you can talk about all the oil and all of that, so, which they're giving and exporting to the US and all those other major European nations. You can talk about all that. But they're still trying at the end of the day. They're still doing certain things because they know what they have to do. Whether it's to improve their image that is tarnished due to media, or whether they just want to do it in general. I slowly, as time goes by, I'm feeling that greenwashing may not be the worst thing on the planet. Because if it's making countries be conscious of what they are doing and organizations be conscious of what they are doing, and they make those changes, maybe it's for the better. So I think when the more I start thinking about it, I agree with you, Shubham. I feel like Qatar is being majorly done bad by a lot of the other nations simply because, well, they are Qatar. And yeah, so final thoughts, guys, and then we can wrap this up. So, Gui?
People need to stop overthinking it. It's have fun at the World Cup. Like, just take it for what it is. It's a competition of good football. Like, hope that there is, like, league-level football at a cup event. Like, I particularly do not enjoy cup events. Especially when like two like large nations go at it and then they start playing like they are in the third tier classic counter-attack tech. And I play like you're a top side. It's boring. But like I'm hoping that the World Cup is more exciting than the previous one. That's about it. And like I cannot overthink this. I know about myself. If other people want to, they are welcome to do it at their own.
And Shubham, just to wrap up.
I just feel like whoever is going to go to Qatar to watch the World Cup, just enjoy the World Cup for what it is. So what if you can't get drunk while watching a match? Just be high with the spirit of the World Cup. And I also feel, you know, I haven't traveled much to the Middle East. The only country I've ever visited is Dubai. But I just strongly feel that, I'm proven right, that when you guys go to Qatar, you'll actually see the amazing infrastructure that they have built, because these guys can really build some amazing things. At least like what has happened to Dubai in 20, 30 years. It's remarkable, the stuff that they can do. And I'm sure the hospitality will be top-notch. The projects that they've set up will be top-notch. Just enjoy the World Cup for what it is. Support your team and just have a good time. And I tell you, like, I think most of the people like you and me, we don't even give a shit about the media propaganda that goes on. So, yeah.
Yeah, and to sum up, I'll just say that I went to Russia 2018. Never thought I would go to Russia. And it was an opportunity for me. I took it with both arms because I didn't need a visa as well if you had a match ticket. Had a great time, great experience. And I recommend everyone to go for one World Cup at least if you are a sports fan for sure, for a FIFA World Cup. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience for sure. And that's it from the three of us at All About Sports, the podcast. And we'll catch you with an all-new episode next week. Till then, like, share, subscribe, do all of those things. Let us know your thoughts. This is a controversial topic. We're open to criticism. We're open to your opinions as well. And we're more than happy to fight as well. So just let us know in the comments and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
If you like this episode, make sure to leave a like and share it with anyone else who might be interested. You can also subscribe on any social media platform that you prefer, and all our links are in the bio. We also have a website with all our episodes, as well as blogs and a whole lot of other sports content, so make sure to check that out as well.